Good morning again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that you allow us to be together and warm and safe. We pray for those that aren't with us this morning, for their safety and for their walking closer with you, as we desire to do today and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to week 4 of Holy Moments. We're going to talk about shepherds today. First, I want to share with you something that hit me. Have you ever had something so good happen to you that you tried to keep it to yourself, but it just keeps slipping out, right? So this is one of the biggies, and it's happened to me more than once, when someone tells you that they're pregnant but tells you don't tell anyone. Immediately think, oh no, am I strong enough to not accidentally share this? You've just placed this on me now. And I have to follow through. Or you get that perfect gift for somebody, Christmas gift, and you've got it hidden in the closet right now, right? And every time you open your closet, you go, I wish I could show it to her right now. This is amazing. But then you drop hints for a month straight because you're so excited about it that your body physically cannot contain the joy. Okay, that maybe doesn't happen to you. Maybe your team. Imagine this, wins a game that actually matters. And suddenly, you're wearing team colors every day, like you're on the coaching staff, right? And even your dog mysteriously shows up with the team bandana on. Joy has a way of leaking out, doesn't it? But the opposite is also true. Sometimes we experience something beautiful or meaningful or God-sized, and we don't share it. We tuck it away. We downplay it. We tell ourselves, no one wants to hear about my life. Or, that's too personal. We keep our joy small and private. That can be especially true when it's spiritual. So welcome to week 4 of our series, Holy Moments. Over the past three weeks, we've been exploring how God creates holy moments in our lives. And first week, we said that it was Mary's story of saying yes. That was a holy moment when she said yes. She answered yes to the angel. And then the next week, she found a bond with her relative Elizabeth. And then last week, we talked about a typical story of Herod during the Christmas story. Who does that? Well, we did. We took on Herod because destructive nature of holding on to things like fear and anxiety and anger exhibited through Herod's jealousy is sometimes exhibited in us, and we don't like that. We want to avoid that. So if you've noticed, we've suddenly moved through how God initiates holy moments, because that's what makes them holy. God, fill in the blank, God makes them holy. But if you've noticed, we've gone from me, Mary, to we, Mary and Elizabeth, to they, the world that deals in jealousy and anger and hate. Because holy moments aren't just personal or private, they multiply when we share them. And today we'll see how joy becomes truly holy when we share it with others. In other words, it's about the collective shared experience of joy. That sounds really psychological, doesn't it? But not just personal joy, not just family joy, or just relational peace. Those are good, those are great, those are comforting. But this is the kind of joy I'm talking about, is the joy too good to keep to yourself. The kind that moves outward and spreads and becomes contagious. Nobody models this better than the Christmas story than the shepherds do. And we're going to see how God takes ordinary, exhausted, overlooked people who are just trying to stay awake and turns them into the first messengers of Christmas joy. And through their story, we're going to learn this big idea. Holy moments are meant to be shared. Now let's jump to Luke 2 to see how that happens. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Let's pause there for a minute. These are not social influencers. They're not religious leaders. The shepherds were not the community heroes. Sometimes we just assume they were teenager young boys or young men, and a lot of times I've heard that there were women incorporated into this as well, because it was a thankless job. Somebody had to do it. These are the night shift workers doing an unglamorous job. This is the ancient version of stocking shelves at 3 in the morning. Anybody done that? Yeah. That's the thing. Nobody knows you exist at at 3 in the morning, stocking shelves. Nobody knows you exist. It's like God choosing to announce the birth of his son to the overnight shipping crew at Amazon instead of at the governor's office, right? Everyone else is asleep. These guys are just trying to stay awake. And that's where God shows up. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Isn't it interesting that before the shepherds do anything or go anywhere or share anything, God gives them joy? This is the pattern of holy moments. God makes the first move. We don't manufacture holy moments, we receive them. Notice, too, when the angel shows up and the sky lights up, the first words out of the angel's mouth are, "Don't be afraid." Now, you already know that. This is Bible language for, "I know you're freaking out, but hang in there." That's what that means. Then the angel gives them the news of all news. A Savior has been born. The Messiah. Christ the Lord. And he's close. Real close. Literally within reach. This is important. This holy moment wasn't just given to them. It was inviting them. Drawing them in. Which helps us to understand that holy moments, in fact, do draw us toward Jesus. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. I love this moment. The shepherds don't just sit there and process what they saw. They don't say, "Wow, that was powerful. Anyway, back to work." No, they move. They hurried off. Their faith started walking towards the manger before their minds even caught up. Because joy is not passive. Joy gets you moving. Think of it this way. Have you ever had one of those moments where something so good happens that staying still is impossible? Maybe you're not like me. You know me. You see me enough that I shake my leg a lot. My wife points that out. But I can't contain myself. It's like when your food finally comes out at a restaurant and it's sizzling and just smells like heaven. Come on, you know that. You get this one. Everyone at the table instinctively leans forward. You're not even trying. Your body just moves towards that good thing. Or kids on Christmas morning. No kid in human history has ever said, "Let's patiently reflect on the meaning of this moment before we approach the presents." No. When it's time, they launch because joy pulls them forward. That's the shepherds. They instinctively are drawn to Jesus. Here's what this means. Some of us are praying for joy or asking God for clarity. Others are begging for peace or desperately wanting to experience that holy moment. And I get that. But too many of us aren't taking the step joy is inviting us to take in the first place. Maybe, just maybe, the holy moment God is preparing for you begins with a simple step toward Jesus. It could simply be making time to be with him, or picking up the scriptures again, or reading that daily devotion again the second time. Maybe for you it's showing up consistently in worship again, or seeking God through prayer. Your next move may be to say yes to community or just sitting still in solitude long enough so that you can hear and let God speak to you. Whatever you're being drawn to, understand holy moments draw us toward Jesus, but we still have to move. You can lean in towards that plate of fettuccine Alfredo, but you got to put the fork in it. That's what the shepherds do. They take the step. They follow joy all the way to Jesus, and they actually see him. They meet Mary and Joseph. They see the newborn Messiah with their own tired, puffy night shift eyes, right? And here's what's fascinating. The story could have ended there. It very well could have ended there. They could have said, wow, what a beautiful private spiritual experience we just had. Let's never tell anyone about this and keep it a secret. But they didn't, because the joy is real. And when the joy is real, and when hope fills the human heart, or when God does something you get to witness, you can't keep it to yourself. Because holy moments multiply when we share it with others. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about what had been told them about this child, and all were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Take note, this is one of the most underrated evangelism moments in the Bible, right? The shepherds don't whisper. They're probably crude and rude, I'm guessing. I don't know. I remember being a 3 o'clock shift worker at Meijer, and I was not really pleasant to be around. They don't create a private Facebook group called People Who Saw Something Cool. No, they tell everyone. The socially invisible, lower class, overlooked people became the first public witnesses of Jesus. And why is that? It's because joy shared becomes contagious. You can just picture yourself on the hillside and just bursting with wanting to tell somebody. First of all, wanting to find what was told to them, and then how can you not say it? In other words, have you ever been with a close... This is a good one, because this is my favorite kind of laughter that I'm going to explain to you. You're in a group with close friends, and one of them starts to laugh. And then they start laughing hard enough that you start laughing, even though you have no idea what they're laughing at. It is the best, am I right? It is the best. Nothing's funny, but I'm laughing, and then one person starts giggling, and then the giggle becomes gasping for air, and then becomes one of your friends that does the snort. You know who I'm talking about, right? Then suddenly the whole room is crying, and nobody knows why. That's what joy does. It spreads. Or think about a great restaurant recommendation. Let's go back. Maybe I'm hungry this morning, so I keep bringing this up. Have you ever been somewhere to eat that was so good the food practically changed your theology, right? You'd swear that God's dwelling in that kitchen. What do? You tell everybody, right? You become an evangelist for tacos. You can't help it. You have to tell people. You're a missionary of barbecue. You're a prophet of cheesecake. Okay, I'm done. I can't think of any others. But because why do you do that? Because when something is good, genuinely good, it just naturally spills out. You want to share it with people that need to know that. That's the shepherds. They experience something so holy and so good that their instinct wasn't to protect it, it was to share it. Here's the point. Your personal holy moments matter. And I get it. Some of you think I don't have a dramatic testimony. Or nobody wants to hear what God's doing in my life. You couldn't be more wrong. Your holy moment, no matter how small it may feel to you, may be exactly what someone else needs. It could be a word of hope. It might come from a moment of vulnerability that, like an answered prayer that you have and you want to share with somebody, or a step that you took in your life that you thought you might have made a mistake and you've turned out that you didn't, or a struggle you overcame, and the peace that you found. Joy grows when it moves beyond me and becomes us. When you share your story, you are making space for holy moments in someone else's life. Do you hear that? I've mentored a young man for the last couple of years, and recently he shared how he's been wrestling with a really difficult decision in his life. He didn't know what to do, and he was carrying a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear. During our conversation, I shared a personal story from my own life about a time I faced a similarly challenging situation. I didn't solve anything. But simply hearing that someone else had walked through something like he had, and seeing how it turned out, I don't know why that helped, but gave him clarity, gave him courage for what he was facing. As lunch ended, he told me how much that conversation meant to him. For him, it was such good news. That moment of sharing, that holy moment, wasn't about me. It wasn't about me overcoming what I felt. I was explaining how I felt, like he did. I didn't say, here's the steps to get out of it, but I've been where you are, and I've been unsure where you are. It was about opening the door for God to speak and act in someone else's life, and that's what happened when he realized I'm not alone. The shepherds didn't have a checklist or a strategy. They simply told everyone they could about what God had done. And your holy moments work the same way. They don't have to be big. They don't have to be complicated. You don't have to know exactly the right words to say or how to say them. Sometimes the simplest actions are the way joy multiplies. Here's a few ways I think you might take a step towards sharing that good news this week. Make that phone call to someone who needs encouragement. You've got Christmas as an excuse to make a random phone call, don't you? You can say, just want to say Merry Christmas. Well, meanwhile, you just want to check how they're doing. Maybe showing up at somebody's house that you know is struggling. Maybe serving someone in a practical way, like bringing a meal or helping with a task or giving the gift of your time. Or inviting someone to this Wednesday's Christmas Eve service. Just sharing the story of Jesus to someone who might never hear it otherwise. None of these are complicated. None of them require perfection. But they all create space for holy moments. Moments where God can work through you to bring joy and hope and peace into someone else's life. So as we wrap up today, let's bring this home. This Christmas, God has given each of us joy. Some of it feels big and obvious. Some of it feels quiet and private. But it's all a gift from Him. Here's the question for all of us to think about. Who needs to hear about it? Who needs to hear about it? Whose heart might God be preparing? Not through an angel or dramatic vision, but through you. Because, again, holy moments are meant to be shared. And sometimes sharing doesn't require words at all. Sometimes it's a smile, it's a hug, it's a phone call, it's a presence. Sometimes it's a simple, intentional gesture that lets someone else know God is real, God is near, and God cares. This passage from Revelation is something not generally brought up at Christmas time, but I find it interesting. Victory is found over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That's fast-forwarding to where Jesus sacrificed for you. But the word of your testimony is as important in that equation as anything. And again, it doesn't have to be a 20-minute prepared testimony. It just has to be, I was this way, and then somebody introduced me to Jesus, and now I'm this way. What a gift. Father God, thank you for this time that we've had together this morning to talk about your presence in our lives and your spreading of joy. When we think of joy, we think about certainly about being happy and laughing and clapping each other on the back, but mostly, Lord, it's a deep-seated feeling of overabundant love within us that we can't contain. So as we deal with family members this Christmas season, help us be conduits of your peace. pipelines of your joy and messengers of love. We give you all the glory, and we praise your holy name. Amen.